Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokechem. At the outset of our parsha, Perachov Tes, Pasuk Tes, Moshe gathers the people together and he's about to give them a major, significant speech of religious motivation and guidance. Who does he gather? The pasuk continues and tells us, Rasheichem, Shivtechem, Ziknechem, Mishvatrechem, the Kol Ish Yisrael, the entire strata of Jewish people, from the most important to the least important, everyone, literally, says the pasuk, Kol Ish Yisrael. Rashi, commenting on this verse, points out that the reason that Moshe is having this discussion now and giving this speech is because this is a period of transition. In Rashi's language, miparnes laparnes, we're going from one leader to the next. Moshe's time on the biblical stage is about to come to an end, and shortly we're going to be starting the new era of leadership of Yehoshua. And therefore, at this moment of transition, he gathered the people, osa lehem matzeva. Here, Rashi is sensitive to the choice of language in the pasuk, atem nitzavim. Says Rashi, nitzavim here comes from the word matzeva, like a monument. He gathered the people together. He stood them up together like a monument. Kedei lezarzam, says Rashi, in order to give them these words of religious guidance and encouragement. And Rashi then further points out that this is the first, but not the last, example of this. It seems to be a pattern in Jewish history, and Rashi gives other examples where leaders, towards the end of their tenure of leadership, gathered the people for one big final speech. Rashi explains the what, but it's not clear that Rashi on its face has sufficiently explained the why. Why Dafka now? Okay, this is the end of Moshe's leadership and shortly before Yeshua's, but why does that mean that there needs to be a speech now? Why is this the right time for it? And secondly, even though Rashi is clearly sensitive to the choice of language, Nitzavim, it's not really clear though why the Torah chose that word. Rashi doesn't seem to sufficiently answer that question. After all, if the real content, the real intent of the pasuk is that Moshe gathered the people together, and that seems to be in fact the case, so we would have expected not nitzavim, which is kind of an awkward usage of the word, but rather some form of asifa or aguda, some kind of gathering. Why nitzavim from the language of matzeva? Rav Elie Meir Bloch, the famed Telzer Rosh Hashiva and an ingenious Baal Musar who had a keen sense for human psychology and human nature, in his collected work on the Parsha Pnei Das, he explains as follows. He says, Nitzavim needs to be understood not just standing in the physical sense like a monument, but rather standing at attention in the sense of to stop, as opposed to just going on with your regular life. Usually we just go from one thing to the next. Nitzavim means stop what you're doing and think about it. Don't just mindlessly go from one thing to the next, one day to the next, one project to the next, but rather be at attention. Stop, be mindful, be thoughtful, think about what you're doing, be deliberate in your choices. It could very well be that previously you were making good decisions, but if it was just, so to speak, automatic or on autopilot without really thinking about it, that's a problem. Certainly, if we're making bad decisions, it's a problem. But even if we're making good decisions, says Rav Bloch, the key to life and to ultimately leading a happy, meaningful, fulfilled, and successful and spiritually aspirational life is to be thoughtful. Most people in life, he says, really the biggest challenge that people have is they're on autopilot, continuing habits without thinking. The key to success in life, says Rav Bloch, in all the ways we just mentioned, religiously, emotionally, spiritually, is to stop periodically to be able to truly think about what we're doing and make mindful and thoughtful decisions. But the key to all of that, says Rav Bloch, is to be able to stop and pause and then therefore to think. And that is what was happening with Atem Nitzavim. Rav Bloch actually adds that if people would do this, he thinks that most of the time they would actually make the right and positive decision. After all, he says the pasuk in Tehillim tells us, Perek Kuf Yutes, Chishavti Derachai Vashiva Ragli El Edosecha. Chishavti Derachai, I thought about the path I was on. And that's the key, says Rav Bloch. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Chishavti, I thought. And once I thought about my path, then almost naturally, Ashiva Ragli El, Raglai El Edosecha. I turned or I returned my legs, my walking, my orientation in life, El Edosecha, towards your mitzvos, towards the right path. The key to going on the right path is Chishavti Derachai. First stop, first think about how you're going, and then we're more likely than not to actually make the right decision. Why? In terms of the timing, why did all this have to happen dafka now at the end of Moshe's life, right before Yehoshua takes over? So says Rav Bloch very persuasively that even though the change in leadership is not directly connected to the important act of self-reflection that we're talking about for the individual people in the nation, nevertheless, when you're about to experience and witness a change in leadership, that is a time that is naturally attuned for this type of contemplation. It's natural to feel that since one stage of communal and national leadership is ending and one is about to start, that in a parallel way, it's an opportunity for you and really a natural time and an opportune time to think about you yourself, how not only is the nation starting afresh in a new chapter, but you yourself have an opportunity to start afresh, and therefore it's an opportune time. Dafka, when anyway there's a transition happening, transitions are potentially scary, but they're also ripe with opportunity for growth because they naturally lend themselves to a contemplation and mindfulness. And hopefully that's really what says Rav Bloch Tshuva is all about, new beginnings. That's why the Pasuk says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. The focus is on today, a new beginning, and the transition in leadership is a perfect opportunity to make that decision and to have that moment of stopping, thinking, and contemplation. This idea of the challenge of life, of breaking out of habit, repeats itself, perhaps, in the second parak of the parsha, parak lamed pasuk yedalid, where we have a section leading up to that pasuk that talks about hamitzvah hazos, which according to certain mafarshim such as Ramban, is a section dedicated to tshuva. And if we are talking about tshuva, so in the pasuk yedalid it says ki karve lecha hadavar meod. This thing, evidently tshuva, at least according to the Ramban, it's karve lecha hadavar meod. It's very easy to do. It's not very far away. It's very accessible. I mean, it's easy for a person to do. Really? Asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sichos Musar, is tshuva really karve lecha? Is tshuva really easy to do? If it was so easy, why doesn't everyone do tshuva? How come people seem to have such a hard time with it? And he explains in an explanation that is basically very similar, if not totally identical with what we just saw previously, that over time and through the repetition of our behavior, we've become habitualized to our situation. But says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, if we could just stop even for one moment and break out of our routine, there's a good chance we do tshuva. And in fact, the actual action of doing tshuva is easy. It is natural. What's hard is the breaking out of the routine, is stopping. But if we could actually stop and think for a moment, then we would have an easy time to have successful tshuva.